Before we start another episode of amazing Check These Out tabletop role-playing content, here's a brief word from the sponsors of this episode. Do you have a Hogwarts-sized hole in your life where your favourite wizarding world used to be? Find yourself longing for adventures to continue in your castle-sized school with your three best fictional friends? Well, there might possibly be a not-quite-Potter podcast audacious enough to scratch that itch. JK, We're Rolling, in an actual play podcast set in a brand new world in an original game system made to mirror wizarding cultures from popular media. Three German players attempt to solve mysteries and survive in a castle-sized sandbox created by one American game master. Find out what's happening in the most prestigious wizarding school in all of Germany every other Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. JK, We're Rolling. Yeah, we went there. So come join us. Follow JK We're Rolling on Instagram at JK We're Rolling or Twitter at JK We're Rolling 1 for more info.
Hello there and welcome to the Iron Horse of Acheron, a Check These Out D&D 5e 4-part mini campaign set in the world of Terra Luno.
Hi, I'm Mac of the DM. I am the Dungeon Master for the Iron Horse of Acheron.
Hi, I'm Johnny from Check These Out. I'm playing IX, the Human Bard.
Hi, I'm Lewis from Check These Out. I'm playing Philippe Dumont, the Human Bard College of Clegromancy.
Hi, I'm Andy from Check These Out. I'm playing as Colonel Goosey Ganders, a Goosefolk Paladin.
Throughout this mini-campaign, we will also be joined by some special guests.
Hi, I'm Andrew from Chasing Tales. I'll be playing Hester, the Rabbit Folk Fighter.
Hi, I'm Rowan, also from Chasing Tales and Witchencraft Games, and I'll be playing Reaper, the Reborn Death Cleric.
Hi, I'm Saint Stella. I'm playing Pukara Terralai, a Firbolg Monk.
Check out our live streams, Tales from Terra Albert on Mondays and the Iron Horse of Acheron on Tuesdays at 9 PM UK time at twitch.tv/checkdeeseout. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube by searching Check These Out. We also have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/checkdeeseout. Now on with the session.
The group have entered the next carriage, the penultimate carriage before they reach the engine room of the Iron Horse of Acheron. In this room, there was a dreamscape almost that replayed the death of Deacon, this NPC that's been following them and drawn them into this whole situation. And in that area, they discovered an executioner, which was Zach, the spirit of a deceased comrade of Ajax's from the first campaign. The reason Ajax is here, and in fact the reason we wrote this campaign from the start, after battling this seemingly invincible creature that was causing all sorts of damage and nearly killed Ganders, nearly killed Puck, the group worked together amazingly to limit the damaging potential of Zach and eventually calmed him. And Ajax was the catalyst for that by using the song that he wrote after Zach died to calm him, which was absolutely awesome, by the way. As we pick up for the second half, we are about to leave this carriage. The doorway that has no handle on the outside can only be opened from the inside. Felipe has just painted a handle on to enable you to get through. And Deacon, the NPC that's here, has kind of said this is why, one of the reasons why Felipe has been brought along. You pull down the handle, the door creaks open, and my question to you is, do you enter?
There's something I'd like to do first, if possible, but...
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sort of stood at the door. Is it like a general, like, ominous feeling, the fact that all this air is rushed out and stuff? Or is it just the fact that air's rushed out and I'm like, oh, the door?
It's basically a change of temperature. Right here is it's super warm, super hot. It's some like mini environment that's been created just to torture Deacon over and over again. And the next room, would there be an ominous feeling? I suppose there would be a feeling of power, a certain foreboding of a very powerful being on the other side of the door.
Right. So, if I get that sort of feeling, I'm going to be like, oh, I've felt this sort of thing before. Everyone prepare yourselves. I feel as though it's not going to be an easy stroll through the next carriage.
We all need to be very careful. Bishop is not somebody to be trifled with or taken lightly, he will destroy you if you let your guard down.
Hey, Reap, what you looking at?
I think I died here. I can't remember. Yes. I remember seeing Deacon hanging like that, and before I didn't remember anything. Sorry, it's just not what I expected.
It's kind of fitting that in the place where you died, you can choose to live, no?
I like that. I'm glad you got your friend back.
Yeah, and thanks for saving Ganders and Pack. That was amazing. I wish I could learn something like that. I know how to stitch wounds back together sometimes with the magic that I'm afflicted with, but what you do is incredible, honestly.
I don't even know how I do what I do. Piers, I don't know a lot, as this journey has shown me.
We're all learning new things, and as Puck would say, I'm glad you're part of our collective now.
Kind of put a like shy smile and put like a one arm around Ajax, give you a squeeze. Weirdly buff for someone as small as Reaper is. It's a kind of like
Ajax is not buff hug. At all. Ajax is not buff. yeah. We'll look out for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen when we get to the end of this train, on the end of this train line and the front of this train, but I mean, can't really be afraid of doing what you don't know anymore after everything that we've done this past however long it's been.
Yeah. I mean, I started a few years ago, a scared little bard child singing for my dinner. Now I'm singing, dancing through death. Like, I don't know what happens next, but we've got our friends, our collective, our family, and we've all got our skills, and we complement each other quite well.
Yeah.
And you're buff as hell. if you ever need to run away, pick me up and take me with you.
I like tuck my big mace back into my robes. I honestly forgot I had that. It's hard to forget that you have a mace, and somehow I did it.
I mean, I don't know where you hide that thing, but I'm impressed.
It's got a lot of robes. It's weird uniforms. Weird considering how hot it is, the place that we work at. I don't know why they make us wear all these things.
Do you want to wear something different?
Do you have anything different?
Hey, Felipe?
Yes?
You can make stuff out of paint, right?
Oh, yes.
Can you make clothes?
I'm going to like run back to him and be like, and now you mention it, it is a favorite pastime of mine. You know, dressing up.
What do you want to wear?
These are really warm. And I'm going to try and like see if I can remember stuff that I wore back before I died. Like, being in this place and having remembered what I've remembered, can I bring back any memory of clothes I used to wear?
Yeah, I was patiently waiting, actually. As you begin to remove these thick, heavy robes that you have, that are they're almost like a prison uniform. They're all the other Reapers are kind of uniform, and it takes away your identity. And as the robe is removed, you have this amazing dark green kind of robe underneath that's has a symbol on it. But as you remove your robe and you know, you place your hammer down beside you and your old robe falls to the ground, you hear the sound of a small metal object ting 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 on the ground.
I'll dig into my robe and see if I can find it.
And as you reach into your robe, you pull out a small gold ring. Too big for your fingers, but there's a symbol on that ring that is the same symbol that is on your robe, strangely. And as you look at the building opposite you, in fact, I'll mark it on here. It's the building, that's about to move you. It is this building behind Ajax. So you're looking past him and you see that it's a church or maybe a lodge of some kind that would be used for the ceremonies and you know, the symbols that match the ring and match your robes are on this church side, on the windows. And what deity exactly that is unclear, but it's certainly, you remember it as a symbol of death, or at least of the afterlife. And it becomes clear that these robes, you were always a death cleric. You were always somebody that helped spirits move on to the other world. And what you're wearing, this sort of dark green and these rich, the color of life, really, green is kind of a converse to the fact that you're a cleric of death. And it would all come back to you that this church was the last place you were alive. And this ring was the last thing you held before it was placed on a finger of somebody else. And this ceremony was interrupted by somebody. And the figure, your mind's eye, is shadowed and veiled and difficult to pick out. But all you remember is the person you were facing, you recognize their scent, you recognize everything about them. And it was Deacon you were standing opposite. And the last thing you remember is their finger being removed and the ring being lost to the ground and being Deacon being dragged away, and everything went dark for you because that was the last thing you remember, as you were killed in the crossfire from a gunfight that ensued in that lodge.
On my wedding day.
And it all comes back to you in a flash.
Kind of holding the ring in my palm. It's like, that I was killed on my wedding day. That's a really shit time to be killed.
Yeah, that's pretty shit.
Who would kill in a church?
Outlaws.
Somebody that loves you, somebody that you did not love back.
A jilted lover. I just.
I'd take her. It's like. Dramatically,
like,
this is not a place for bards to be.
This is not a place for bards.
As we walk away, I just go, why do they always have to be married?
I'm just picturing the, you know, the nuclear warning sign of this place is not a place of honour. This place is not a place for bards.
I burn wherever I go.
No esteemed dead are buried here. I will kind of close the my hand around the ring, and with the heavier robes, kind of adjust them so that they fit me better, rather than just being an underlayer to all of these things that I'd been wearing on the train. Can I take a look in the door of the church building?
Mm-hmm. And as you approach. And Deacon kind of waits just on the outskirts of it as well. You approach the doorway to this church, you look inside, and there are many bloodstains on the ground, many bullet holes in the walls inside, discarded weapons, and there's clearly been a gunfight here.
Mm-hmm. Kind of lower my head a little bit and say a prayer. Not quite knowing how I know it, but it's just sort of in the back of my head.
I walk up to Reaper.
Yeah.
Sorry, were you going to say something else?
No, I was done.
I think Puck has a couple things to say to them, but first they say, kind of like looks at their hand holding something, and sort of like puts their hand on Marie's and says, may I?
Yes.
And they're asking to like see the ring for a moment.
And I will open my hand to show it to you.
So Puck like rips a small like thread off their like orange robes and sort of like feeds it through the ring and ties it and holds it to see if it's okay if they put it on like around your neck.
Kind of pause for a second and like look at Deacon and look back into the church and just kind of see if he has any reaction to this.
He holds up his left hand and his ring finger has been cut at the knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't wear it anymore.
I'll nod. And I'll turn back to Puck and, like, bow my head.
In my collective, we believe that objects of love hold power. Perhaps this will help us if it's carried close to your heart.
I hope so too.
Also,
thank you. Yes.
In my collective, I am one of the powerful. I am one who is meant to protect. And I am ashamed to ask, but I must ask you. I'm not at my best. Do you have any magic left?
As soon as you say, like, I'm ashamed to ask, Reaper just breaks out into a big smile. And I'll kind of put my hands on your big furry shoulders. And I will give you a third level cure wounds. I did another one on Ganders, by the way, just to get him back up. I think he got like 15 hit points or something like that.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good perfect roll. So this
thank
place
goodness,
is
because I'm busted still.
Yeah,
it's still the essence of magic everywhere. It's kind of like I say, time doesn't flow here, and neither does magic apparently. So that you can just freely hand out these healing spells like anything. Ganders, however, doesn't awaken.
Okay, you get another 25 hit points.
Perfect. That's exactly basically what I needed. Thank you.
Nice. Can I go over to Ganders and see, like, if he's... I mean, I can't check if he's breathing. He's a fucking spirit. Like, if he's not lost, I guess.
Yeah. It's almost as if he's temporarily away.
Okay. How convenient. I'll call out to the others and say, I don't think we should leave the Colonel here. He'll awake soon, but not now. Do we have somewhere safe to put him?
Let's bury him, with just his head poking out.
He's kind of safe here. If we succeed in what I have planned, then none of this will matter anyway, and he'll wake up and crack jaw as if nothing happened.
Put him in the church.
There's a lot of blood in the church.
Perfect. They might just think he's a dead goose.
Oh.
Perfect. Quote.
Reaper will, in their not like massively ripped arms, but surprisingly buff for their size, will scoop up, if possible, Colonel Ganders. And I will take them. I won't take him into the church, but I will prop him up, like sitting on the door of the church.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the muscle memory of you lifting bodies is almost like, oh, okay, this is what I used to do.
Yeah.
And that's why you're as buff as you are, because you're so used to providing these funeral rites.
I do curling with corpses.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to Joe Wicks. So, moving over, Stella probably has no idea who Joe Wicks is. I won't even go into it. But you rest Ganders' body against the side of the church.
If I can, I want to write like a little note. If I can find like a piece of paper just to tell him we've gone on. If you wake before the train, if you wake before you before this train has stopped, come and find us. We're at the front of the train, and just kind of leave it in his lap.
Okay. Cool. You do exactly that.
Zach notices something in the corner of his eye over in this direction. I moved myself already over there. He walks over and picks up a strange dusted coat that seems to have been discarded in the dirt. And he walks back over towards where Hester is. It appears you have dropped this, friend. Do you require it back?
Nah, I think it's probably warm enough. Thank you, though.
I'm sorry for hurting you and your friends. Or attacking you, should I say. I don't think I did anything to you yourself, but... I am very sorry.
As long as you're good now, I'm fine. Yeah, you don't owe me nothing.
What is your purpose here? What has brought you on this train? You're not dead. You're like Ajax, I assume.
Points the Deacon. That fucker lied to me. And I want to get off this damn train. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. Well, I'll help you get off the train then, as redemption for what I had done to you, mainly to Puck, but Who are the two who have come through here as well?
Call out what you need. Just keep moving forward.
Pats you on the shoulder and then carries on.
She like takes the jacket and like gives you a nod as you move on.
So whilst everyone's talking, they've not been paying attention to the two bards, which I will now refer to as the Chuckle Brothers. The bards have been left to their own devices, and Ajax turns around with a third eye in his forehead, which has been painted on by
an invisible Felipe. Might I add?
One visible hand that I painted back to swear at you.
So you're using your paint quite freely, but Ajax has
I have 10 uses.
Yeah, fine. So Ajax now has a functioning eye in the center of his forehead.
Oh Christ! Love it.
Can you do this with any body appendages? No, not that's not yes. the time.
Let's yeah. not go there, Ajax.
Before we go, would you mind if we just take a very short amount of time here while we sort of goose out? I'd just like to cast a spell that's a little longer than normal.
Short rest?
It would be the duration of a short rest. Yeah, it's an hour long spell.
It's good to see that our time apart has not dampened your spirits, Ajax.
Come here, Zach. I've got a third eye now.
This is incredibly freaky, but I'll still hug you anyway.
I run up and just jump it and make a koala bear again.
as we take a short rest, I'm going to pull out my violin and just start playing a really gentle melody.
Is this the daylight violin?
It is the daylight violin.
This is a really, really old item. And as you pull it out, anyone that would recognize musical items at all would know that this is so old. It was probably created by the first race of elves. And as you go to play, the daylight just shines from you. Even though it's already blisteringly hot in here, it would just be bright now as well.
And I'm playing the melody from Pan's Labyrinth, because it's the only one that I automatically play when I've got this thing, this violin. So I'm playing that, and I'm going to do a song of rest for anyone that's regaining hit points. Awesome. I've also got a mosquito flying right next to my face.
Reaper doesn't need hit points, but will come and sit by you and attempt to match your tune with their old wooden lyre.
Oh yeah, you would discover that they're actually probably of the same design.
Oh shit, nice.
Oh, that's a lovely instrument you have there. Where?
Do I remember where I got this from? Now that
the memory is still hazy for you, but these events of what you're remembering now would have happened so long ago. It's like the train distorts time, but it would have been probably in Felipe's time, which would be thousands of years in the past.
Mm-hmm. That's a long, long time ago. And kind of look to Felipe and kind of with a bit of a cheeky grin and look around at all of these others having their rests and doing the thing and just lean back into Felipe and just go, look at these youngsters.
Yeah, you're not wrong. How old would you say I am?
I mean,
it's a rough guess.
45. Oh, it wasn't a real question.
if we are of each other's time, then thousands.
I might actually before your time, even.
Really?
By the time I died, by my calculations, I could have been over 100 by the time I died. Maybe 200. Maybe 300. In fact, I had no memories up until recently, before I died.
Flows differently here, by the way, so sometimes when the train door is open, sometimes what's happening outside is still yet to pass, and what happened in the future, sometimes it's a long time ago. It's kind of, when spirits are ready, they'll just get on this thing.
Also, do you ever mind your own business, Deacon? We're having a private conversation. It's just still a bell end in my eyes.
Reaper giggles.
Do you see Deacon just remind, it's almost like he's reminded, like self-affirmations. I need him alive. I need eat him alive.
I'm just going to look at him. I won't kill him. What about you, Rita? How are you feeling? It's all been a bit overwhelming for you, hasn't it?
A few hours ago, I was just a ticket collector. Now I found all of you. I had this other life that before was shadows of memory. All I could remember before was that I played music and I had a job and there was somebody that I cared about that died, and that was it. That was all I could remember. But now it's feels new, but like I've known it all along. It's a strange feeling.
Because every time I come through this train and I bring a soul with me to try and succeed, every time so far I failed. And every time we go through the same motions and you remember a bit more each time. And my hand was forced by Bishop this time. That's why I had to bring so many. I'm hoping this is it. This is my last chance. It's our last chance.
So what happens then if we fail?
If we fail, then I'll fade out of existence like all of these other spirits we defeated, and you will go back to being a pawn in the Lord of Death's plans. You'll go back to remembering nothing, and eventually you'll fade like the other Reapers.
And on top of that, I won't ever see my family again because of you, correct?
We best make sure that doesn't happen then. And we make sure we destroy Bishop and get everybody off this train.
We are definitely going to have some stern words after this, Deacon. By stern, I probably will try and kill you.
Fair enough.
It depends on the circumstances. Everything is circumstantial nowadays. We'll see. We will see. If not, really been very useful up until now. Besides being a fantastic eavesdropper, might I add.
I can't interfere myself. That's why I need you.
You interfere in conversations though, don't you? Very well. And with that, I'm going to finish playing my instrument. I look over to Ajax and be like, Red, how are you doing over there? I mean, been painting on the floor again.
I'm casting some kind of summoning ritual, and as the hour completes and I finish casting my spell, I look up as the spell dissipates. I was just flexing my roll 20 skills, as Josh rightly said.
Yeah,
and I shout out, Apollo, come to me. And they come to me.
So everyone else would witness from seemingly a single flaming feather that Ajax pulls out. It would, something's happened with Discord. A flame would just go whoosh, in a ball, and as the flames and ashes and embers kind of flitter away in the very light, warm breeze that you feel, in Ajax's hand rests a small baby phoenix.
Hey, little Apollo, how are you doing? You're gonna help me out in this little fight, yes?
As soon as I see it, I'm gonna charge over and be like, that's the cutest thing I have ever seen. Can I touch it? Please, can I touch it?
Apollo, do you want to touch him? She wants to touch you.
Squishy, squishy, squishy.
They would burn like hell on you, Philippe.
I'm definitely going to try and take as much as I can before I'm like, all right, this hurts a lot. Get off.
Like bites into your hair and like refuses to leave and then leaves and hops back onto my shoulder. We need to be our full strength, and Apollo here is pretty good at the old Bernie. You all ready to go through this door?
Yes, we can use one of those phoenix feathers to defeat the train. That was me trying to make a joke.
I got the reference.
I did not.
Yeah, it's a fun fantasy reference. For any Final Fantasy fans out there, yep.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a reference.
I got it.
Then, Puck, as we are your collective, do we go forward?
I'm ready if you are.
I'm ready.
What we should do to return to where we should be, we'll do this together. I'm proud to be here with you.
Then as our de facto leader, Hester, after you. And I'll start walking and wait for Hester to move.
All right, fine.
Because I've appointed her as my leader now.
She'll like shake her head slightly, her like ears are like go all the way back. She'll get her whip coiled in her hand and alrighty.
Let's go.
Let's go hijack a fucking train. She'll fucking push the door open and step on through.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Whoa!
As you do?
He's such a little boy. Look at him.
You're now at the front of the train. There is a door. Yeah, you've just all opened the doorway. Hester, as you try and move past that bed, there's a barrier, some sort of magical wall of force that kind of you bash into. It's invisible and you can't see past it. But by the, what would be like the hole, you know, where they chuck in fuel, there would be a single figure. And it looks a lot like Bishop. Your memory of Bishop, anyway. Maybe a bit more bloodstained.
That's him.
The man we're after.
That's Bishop.
And anyone able to take care of this? Should I, like, knock on the...
I will push my hands together and then push them forward and I will cast Dispel Magic.
Dispel Magic only works up to a certain level, right?
After a certain level, you have to make a check if it's higher than the level you cast it. So the highest I have is third level. If it is a higher than third level spell, I have to make a check with my spellcasting modifier.
Let me find out. It is higher, yeah, it is high.
I have to make a wisdom check then, I believe.
Can I assist by casting Dispel Magic alongside her?
Then Reaper would have advantage on the wisdom check.
I can take that.
Because there's two...
Like hold hands, like Power Rangers, and just...
Yeah! The wisdom check.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
That's cacked.
Yeah.
Ooh. That is a... mass... 16?
As you try and dispel the wall of force, and Felipe tries to help, whatever magic is causing this to exist here, you're not strong enough to dispel it at this time.
It's beyond me.
Is there anything, can I see anything through the wall of force?
Yeah, you can all see through it. It's transparent, yeah, you can see Bishop there. And Bishop kind of walks forward, stands right in the middle and just says, I wondered how long it would take you all to get here.
Y'all thought this Deacon's shit was going to be hard. This one's going to get a whole lot worse.
Can I see anything on Bishop? Like anything that might be correlating to the wall of force?
No, nothing at all. It seems that it's just Bishop there. And he looks directly at Deacon and just says, how long ago was it when I told you this would happen? You'd bring all of them here at once and I could take them all out at once.
Okay.
Yep.
I'd like to use Runaway. No, I'd like to use my ability Runaway, where I can stack up to 6 friendly targets and we can teleport within 30 feet, one place that we can see.
Oh, shit!
I was also just going to say I cast...
I did this to you on the boat as well. Why do you not remember this?
Oh, shit!
See you next week, guys.
Okay. I'd like to use Runaway.
Leave me behind, I'll cast Misty Step, don't worry about it.
So you guys can choose if you would like to use it or not. So I will select, I can select up to the, yeah. So we can choose. So you all feel this effect come over you and you feel yourself grow lighter as fire embers start to trickle out of Ajax, annoyed at being kept within a small confined space again. And just like on the boat when we were stuck behind a phantasmal wall there, I will choose, actually I can't choose everyone, so yeah, I will leave Puck out. I will choose the rest of them, including myself, and you can instantly use your reaction to teleport within 30 feet of one space that you can see.
Zach grins at this.
You know what this means, yeah.
Holds his axe in both hands, ready to strike. And as soon as he teleports in, he's going to attack.
Before this occurs, I will just say one thing. Yeah. Felipe, the second you see this form, this person, you are... Your vision changes. Your eyes glow gold for a split second, and everyone would probably see this happen. And your memories return. You've been here before. It was just you and Deacon. And you were brought here by Deacon to fight this being. And you failed. You were killed. Like, your soul was destroyed by this being. And then you ended up being one of these memoryless ghosts that just eventually faded away. And that all returns to you, all those memories. And you see this being for what it actually is. Now, I can't reveal it right now because everyone will see.
We can all close our eyes.
Send it to me on Discord. I can open that.
Okay. Give me a second to do that then.
Sorry for the runaway, Macca. That's... You asked for it.
He's had so many random things thrown at him for this like mini campaign that just caught him off guard, like swiping someone's head off.
And there's also like three people that can guess dispel magic and unlimited spell slots. Like,
yeah.
That wall ain't staying up.
Hey, can you cast it as well?
Who? It's me, Felipe, and...
I don't have it.
Is it just us two that
Did
can
you
do
send it?
It
to me, Macca?
Yeah, I sent it on Discord.
It's not going up.
And look in the chat we used to talk about artwork and stuff in the Iron Horse tab.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I will warn you all now, this is no mere man. This is not an easy fight. I have done this before. I have lost this before. But I was on my own. This time we'll get in with the power of friendship.
So, before you choose to move, by the way, I will just say that Deacon also says
I'm
going to
say that power of friendship gives Bardic inspiration to Zach, who's very ready to kill.
That's totally fine, but Deacon would speak to Hester actually at this point, right before you leave, just whisper into your ear or right behind you, just be like,
I should tell you at this point the bishop never existed. There's no such thing as bishop.
Does that thing bleed?
I don't think so. That thing is, it just looks like Bishop.
I don't care what you call it. It's my fucking way.
Okay. And I guess everyone teleports across the barrier.
If they wish to, yeah.
Yep.
As I appear, you were saying about killing us all in one spot.
How far can we teleport, John?
30 feet. 30 feet to an unoccupied space that you can see.
Everyone would teleport across. It won't be surprise actions because it can see you there, and it's like, you know, it's not like it's like, oh my god, I'm being surprised. It's aware that something's about to happen, so it will be initiative rolls for the combat, which is about to start.
It's surprising, but it's not surprised.
Surprised with a lowercase s.
I did hold my action to attack it as soon as I teleported in.
Yeah, either way, we're going to do initiative rolls.
Okay. I'm going to use the inspiration you gave me for singing Zach's Lament to roll initiative with advantage. 21! Still not higher than Lewis, though.
I love how I've got like a +7 initiative, and I've never been anywhere but like low middle.
So it's the case.
You've had so many bad rolls for someone with such high dex.
Yeah. Well, that's decent.
Welcome to playing with Andrew Dapson.
As a DM, you roll crap as well, I bet, right?
Yeah.
All of us, okay. No, I do roll crap, let's be honest.
And then, who's this? So have I got everyone? Who am I missing? Oh, is Reaper rolled?
I rolled in person, so it didn't pop up on roll 20. I got a 7. I'm at the bottom.
You got. And then this being has a +3. Oh, I hate roll 20. I love roll 20, really.
Come for us.
but if the sponsorship comes, I'll be like, roll 20 never fails. It is so not cumbersome to use. Okay, brilliant. That will be Felipe going first as the first person that gets to act and do a thing. You have advantage on this thing if you're choosing to do an attack roll because you rolled nat 20.
So instead of directly Do we want this train to stop?
Just kill Bishop.
I'm going to turn to Beacon and say, do we want this train to stop?
If it reaches where it's supposed to go, then I don't know how I'm going to get you all out of here. But if we can defeat Bishop and stop this train, we can fight what comes next away from their favored terrain, shall we say.
Stop, not destroy.
Good idea, Joel. Okay, then. With that, I am going to put my hand up to my mouth and just start whispering into my hand. And I am going to cast Dissonant Whispers on Bishop.
Okay, what do I need to roll?
Wisdom 15.
Wisdom 15, okay. Okay, so as you go, you cast Dissonant Whispers. I suppose you make a whisper like sound or just no?
I literally just put my hand to my mouth and the sort of mouth into my hand and the whispers appear in his mind. I don't actually have to make it a noise.
As the creature hears these whispers, its head slowly turns to face you, Felipe. You're going to have to speak up, friend.
Oh.
Does not get affected by it at all.
Well, shit. Then with that, I'm just going to sort of cock my head and be like, oh, I guess we'll have to do this the hard way. And I'll sort of just pick my finger as my rapier comes out, and then I draw my second rapier and aim it on him.
Are you saying like you're trying to do the spiritual weapon like a thing, bonus action or whatever?
No, I've literally got a second rapier and I can
animate
it. Oh, I
see, so you're just drawing out too. Got you. Cool.
But it's not a magic thing, it's a class feature.
Understood. And that's your turnover?
Yes.
Perfect. After you then, Ajax, you're up next.
I'm going to look at Apollo and then shrug her off so she starts flapping. And I go, hey, Apollo, our furry friend over there needs all the help she can get. Make sure she lands her attacks. And Apollo's going to fly over and flit around Hester and he's going to give the help action for attacks by trying to distract to give her advantage.
Yeah. So as the wings of this small phoenix flap, and it is quite small, it's like you know, blackbird-sized. But these embers kind of flow in the direction of this beast, which will give Hester advantage on their attacks for their next turn.
Yeah, giving the help action. Mm-hmm. And then I am going to reach through my bag, like, shit. I'm going to pull out like a piece of the mushroom. I'm like, nope. I'll just take a massive bite of licorice and tear it off and start chomping. And then as I kind of start to chew it, I swallow a little bit, like, realize I need a little bit more for the spell, so carry on chewing. And then I just spit it out like a flurry of a bit of spittle, a bit of licorice, but also these red lines of energy that shoot towards Bishop and then slide past him and splatter on Zach, soak into him. And he watches his muscles start to shake violently as I cast haste on him.
Hey!
Yep. This is going to be quick.
Yeah, my bonus action is to just do this to Zach. And that's my inspiration.
I'm tempted to make your alignment change to evil because licorice is disgusting.
I love licorice. Anyway,
yes,
that's the point. So Zach has haste. My bonus action inspire him. And my familiar, who goes on their own turn after me, is going to assist Hester. And then I'm like, okay, we got this, guys. Go!
And your new alignment is lawful licorice.
Okay. So, I accept that.
So after you then, if your goes over, it is Bishop's turn, shall we say. This Bishop has a creature right behind it. That is Zach. It turns around to face Zach and says,
You were supposed to come here and fight me, weren't you? But little gnome fella stopped you in your tracks, made you fall from the back of that turtle, and you just squished on the ground like a bug. And it just smiles, looking at you really smugly. And then you just see them move their hands to the side as quickly as they can. And these claws extend from their fingers, almost like claws of a big cat or something. And they turn and slice you with two claw attacks into Zach, this is. I will roll two attacks. So these are each separate attack. Okay, 26 and 26.
They shall both hit.
Yes.
So
4d6 plus 4 on the damage.
Oh.
Oops. I know how much health Zach's got, so I don't think it's going to do much damage, but 18 points of damage. And I need you to... Oh, no. There is no saving throw on this. You feel... Where this train has gives you limitless magical abilities, and you don't feel the need to rest as often, there's no exhaustion, there's no need for food or whatever. All of that effect no longer is on you. You feel drained immediately, like a corpse. Basically, the effect of a short or long rest would do nothing to you. And the only thing you can think of in your mind is horrible images and dreams and memories. Everything is just darkness. Your mind is so taken over by it. And that's the curse that befalls you. And that is all the creature will do. It will just stay looking at Zach. After their go, it is Hester's go.
So this fella ain't holding nothing, is he? He's just kind of standing there with his big old claws out.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the end of his fingertips have these bone-like protrusions.
Well, all right then. Well, with the assistance of this flamey, feathery friend, I'm gonna
uncoil the whip,
take a step forward, and I'm gonna start slashing for this dude's legs, with advantage from bird friend. Does a 13 hit?
You whip the creature. The whip kind of cracks against their legs. Well, they're not facing you, but there is no effect seemingly on them at all. In fact, you see it tear the clothing on their legs, but no effect.
Does a 26 hit?
The 26, as you see, it whips the leg. It rips the muscles, the sinews. Some blood spills out onto the ground, splatters onto the ground, but they make no effect at all.
Oh,
they make no reaction at all.
Should I roll damage or not?
You won't need to in this case.
Is there any physical impact, and can I attempt to trip them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can attempt to trip.
I'll ask them to make a strength saving throw, please.
Yeah, because if you beat their AC, the whip would whip around their legs and that would happen, but the damage is something different. So you try and trip them up. It would be a strength save, you said?
Yes, sir.
That would be okay. A 9.
9. They are knocked prone.
They're not prone. Brilliant. So you whip the legs out from under them. They fall onto their back, looking up at this hulking figure of Zach and this phoenix shooting embers in their face. And it's just a sly grin. And they look directly at you, Hester.
That's all I can do. That's my turn.
I'm going to have to roll a save. Yes, I am. Okay, 1 second while I quickly roll a thing. Okay, perfect. Moving on. It is Zach's turn.
What in-game effect does this curse have on me?
Effectively, this carriage and all the train carriages you've been on before, there's like an always had up at this. There's not really, the flow of time doesn't affect you. So short rest and long rest kind of just happen if you want them to. And spell slots are kind of never extended or expended, shall I say. You now feel the effects of being dead. So even though you're physically there and you're almost like just a corpse attacking now, you will not gain the benefits of short or long rest. And if you had spell slots, they would be all expended.
Good thing I'm a barbarian.
Right.
As I stand looking over him, thinking, I don't need to go, I don't need to reckless you, the shrouds appear, the necrotic shroud appears around me again as I rage, and I'm going to attack this figure with advantage because he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it Great Weapon Master. After 20.
Yes.
And this bone weapon is a plus one, which means it's magical.
It's magical, yes. Okay, so is he wearing armor?
No.
Right, okay, so he will take 19, 21 points of slashing damage.
Oh, that's no mean feat.
I then need to roll my bone spines twice because it's crit. So he takes 8 points of piercing damage.
So that is... How much is that total so far? Because maths.
Hang on. I'll do all of it. There you go. So yeah, that is 21, 27, 29, 33, 41 points of damage in total.
Oh, shit.
In one hit?
Yeah.
Okay, with that, they can't pass the save on this. Bishop is not Bishop. There is a spirit of a tiger-like humanoid.
One of these goddamn pricks.
There better not be a Rax. What was it called? A Rakshasa?
Rakshasa.
No!
Maka, just to let you know as well, this enemy has now got 10 feet of movement decreased as well because it started its turn within 10 feet of my passing item.
It's also sword. 10 feet reduced because I hit it with a slashing attack.
So it's 20 feet reduced.
It's also on its ass, just to point that out as well.
Yeah, right now it is, yeah.
Yeah. So that was my first attack. I'm going to do my second attack. Same thing. Great Weapon Master. That's a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, so that will be... Oh, yeah, Great Weapon Master. I keep thinking, why am I doing so much damage? It's plus 10. So in total, that's going to be 30 points of damage.
Oh, shit.
Wait, does that even work? Oh, because you have advantage, it adds a damage on or something?
No.
He's Great Weapon Mastering.
Yeah, Great Weapon Master adds plus 10.
Minus damage. 5 to the attack roll, but plus 10 to the damage. And because he's got advantage from him being prone, he's risking it for a biscuit.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to say, okay, cool. Cause, yeah, I got confused with Reckless attacking and then this, which is quite similar. Okay, so yeah, that hits and then you do massive damage. What do you say, 28?
I'm not, 30? Yeah, it's 30 points of damage. I don't need to Reckless attack him because he's on the floor.
You are hasted, Zach, by the way, remember? Yeah,
so, and because I'm hasted, I'm going to do another attack.
Holy shit.
God damn.
Great Weapon Master.
There's a reason I hit Zach.
18.
18 hits.
Yes. Oh,
fuck.
Come on.
That is 32 points of damage.
Holy shit.
Oh my god. Okay.
Is the Divine Fury the...
Oh, sorry, no. Sorry, yeah, the Divine Fury wasn't what I was supposed to roll. It was supposed to have been the spine, so it's 32.
So
yeah, ignore that 5 points of necrotic damage. I only get that on the first attack.
Also, if you wish... It can take thunder damage equal to the Bardic Inspiration dice if you were to use the motive potential I gave you at the start.
Which is a D8. Okay, so I'll do that as well. One thunder damage as you get sparked a little bit.
I wish Andy was here. So... Right, okay. So what you've done is swung at this thing with this bone axe and... This is the first point where you would see emotion on the face of this creature, and it would be pure fear because of what you're swinging. Yeah, that's very interesting. And then you would just tear it limb from limb. These huge gashes are sort of forming on its side and muscles being pulled apart and blood splattering on the ground. And the creature looks very, very damaged by your attacks.
I was 104 damage in one round.
Wild.
It almost died. It almost died from that damage, I'll say that.
Shit.
I actually would recognise the axe as well, just as an FYI. And I'll just look to whoever is around me. I'll look to Puck and they'll just say, Puck, finish this now.
You know, in Marvel, when the Hulk gets Thor and just goes, that's what I'm, that's what I'm imagining right now.
So this weapon, Deacon smiles before it's Pax 10. Deacon smiles and just says, "You were given this weapon by Bishop, weren't you, Zerg?"
"I was. It's a manifestation of the weapon that my Aether fiend wielded."
"Yeah, this this weapon, that's a guard killing weapon."
"Okay. Let's kill this man then."
"Yeah, this weapon can, it's powerful. Puck, it's your turn."
Puck says aloud, "My body is strong, but I have little magic. I leave this to you, my new collective." And they take a few steps back. I meant to be just like 10 feet away. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I do cast Bane and see if that works.
Nice.
If you move away from the creature, you will take an opportunity.
Is even that... from 10 feet away?
You moved away from them, didn't you? You were already close by.
Yeah, well, was I considered melee? I meant to land. Yeah, I won't move then. It's fine. And I'll just stand there and cast Bane.
Okay. So Bane is cast. I have to make a save or...
Yeah, it's a con save, I think, again.
And I just remembered this creature has innate magic immunity. Unless it's cast at a very, very high level, it won't work.
Puck is basically useless against this person. They have no magic, like...
Same.
Shit. So they kind of just, I guess, since I can't move, I thought maybe I was far enough, but maybe I'm not. So I'll just I'll just use my bonus action to do defense pose, whatever it's called.
Yeah, riposte or whatever.
Yeah.
"Yeah, this was the second soul I took. I thought it would help in the fight against the Lord of Death, and it ended up failing, and now it's one of them fiends. So, yeah, it's not going to be good against you guys." And that leaves Reaper.
Rakshasas can only be affected by spells that are... I fought a Rakshasa before, and they can only be affected by spells higher than the level that I have. I'm fucking useless here as damage. I think the only person who could potentially hit it is Zach and Felipe, so... from where I am, how far away am I from everybody? Okay, I'm gonna move into the middle of the room to here, just to behind Hester. And I'm gonna clasp my hands together over my chest and like boof it out with both hands either side of me and encompassing everyone within a 30-foot range of me, which I believe should be everyone.
It's everyone, yeah.
I'm gonna cast Beacon of Hope. Choose any number of creatures within the range, that's all of you bar the Rakshasa. For the duration, each target has advantage on wisdom saving throws and death saving throws and regains the maximum number of hit points possible from any healing.
Nice.
And that's gonna be my turn. I can't hurt this thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a fucking Rakshasa, so like...
As it speaks to you, actually, as it sees you do this, this beacon of hope, the emblems on your robes glow. It says, "You dare use the magic of the Lord of Death against us?" And your magic, you're a death cleric, you know. Yeah. The Lord of Death would be the magic you're drawing from, but you're using it against this creature.
Yeah, and that's all I can do, I think. That's my turn.
Okay, back to the top of the combat round then, Felipe. Also, someone's redeemed rolling D's, so everyone can roll a D20, and whoever gets highest gets inspiration. That's Pixie, who's awesome, by the way.
Thanks, Pixie.
And of course it's going to land on Zach, the absolute nuclear weapon.
Yeah. I still have it from last game, so I'll hold up.
Cool.
So I'm seeing that I can't really damage it with spells. I'm just going to sort of charge in. I'm going to charge in and I'm going to take my initial attack with my rapier, which I believe is magical, isn't it?
Why? What is it?
It's a moonlight rapier.
Then yes, yeah, classed as a magic weapon, yeah. It's the only common magical item that I think is worth using. Of course, it hits. 21?
Yep. Nothing's ever seen the cloak of billowing.
That's 9 damage. And then as I strike in, I'm going to shout out, "Well, now!" because my other rapier is called Realm's Promise, which it was a standard rapier until I animated it, which turned it into a magical dancing item, which is a force empowered strike, which is a it's the same hit, but it does 1d10 force damage, so it's actually boosted.
You have to roll for that though to make it attack?
I have to roll it like a normal attack, but it's 1d10 instead of a 1d6 or whatever it normally is.
Sure, go ahead, roll the attack.
14.
Unfortunately, the 14 just misses as the creature's rolling around on the ground as it has not stood up yet. It just manages to avoid the rapier.
Then I am going to... Johnny, can I get a rapier on the screen? The floating one?
Yes. The weapon? You can. Right this instant.
This instant. Right.
Pressure!
Under pressure.
But basically, I'm going to make the... wow, that's big.
What you say to all the girls.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to make that basically swing around and float pretty much directly above Zach, ready to strike down when I get my next turn.
Sure. In that case, Ajax, you're up next.
Okay, you're going to have to roll with me on this one, Macca, as this is completely random, of course. So I'm preparing to cast the spell. And it stems from the fire inside me as 3 kind of balls of fire start to appear as a scorching ray, 3 scorching rays. And I see this in effect that all this magic is having. And what I do is I withdraw that back into my hands and I absorb the heat back into my body. And I just look, I'm like, I'm not skilled enough at this. I see Hester trying to, you know, do, attacks on it on the beast with her whip, but having no effect. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to walk over to Hester and I'm going to cut 2 lines in my palm, in both my palms, along my rapier, so I start bleeding, and I'm going to attempt to imbue the magic that I've got into her whip temporarily with my blood. So I'm going to just wipe my hands down her whip and try and infuse my blood, my magic, my power, my fire into the whip in order to... It's the Scorching Ray spell that I'm using, but I'm trying to push this magic into the whip to make it magical, make it do fire, do something. And then obviously Apollo is again going to assist in the attacks.
Okay, 2 points of damage from the 2 cuts you made. Okay. But as your blood pours out, it's thicker, it's more viscous, it's darker than blood normally would be. It's almost like lava. But as you grip Hester's whip and run your hand along it, it begins to glow. It's not burning through, it's not destroying it, but it is glowing hot and you can feel the heat on it. And if you were to strike and hit this, one of those scorching rays would be an additional damage on top.
And it'll count as magical to bypass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes! Well, Hester, if there's ever a moment, it's now. And I'm going to use my bonus action to Bardically Inspire. You got advantage from my bird, you got Bardic Inspiration from me, and now your whip's magical. Come on, Hester!
And it does an additional whatever.
2d6.
2d6, fire damage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But on the next
and then
turn,
I just step back, I'm like...
I've gasped that you just blood on my whip, but... All right!
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing either. Strike. Just we're learning.
It looks like your whip is made of pure like napalm at this point. But the Rakshasa who you're facing disappears completely because they have the invisibility spell.
If they still leave my range, whether or not they're invisible or not, may I still make an attack opportunity with disadvantage because they're invisible?
Same here.
You can certainly try. Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be a flat roll?
Be flat because I've just given you advantage for my birdie.
I think my sword has blind vision. No, it doesn't. Never mind.
I was got eyes.
Do I see it with my third eye?
It's got no eyes, right?
Roll with the whip.
Come on, boy.
Yes, 20 more! High five.
Your speed is zero, good sir, because I have Sentinel.
Fuck yes!
Oh my god.
Fuck yes!
You get to add 2d6 fire damage as well.
And make a... I believe Rakshasas are immune to fire damage.
I don't care. It's worth it.
It's there anyway.
Damage
it's
immunities there. Are not fire, my friend.
Okay, it's not then fire. Fuck yeah. Wait, is that a... What's the damage for that? Is that a... Do the damage bit. It's just rolling for what's... I'm going to roll
the word whip.
In chat, yeah. In chat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Four plus... make a strength saving throw for me, please, Mr. Rakshasa.
It's already prone.
in that case, I'll do it as well, because it adds the damage. And then 2d6. So, d4 whip, d8 trip, 2d6 fire.
You've fucking killed this thing. Like, you have to have killed this thing.
17 points of slashing and fire damage.
Hester, yes!
How does the spirit of the Rakshasa...
Yeah!
Annihilate and disappear.
Yes!
Just like, as it's moving, just like, listening to like the words of Ajax, like, echoing the mind, like, it's vanishing. Trust the magic that's like going through the whip and like the words and the strange magic of the bardic inspiration and just lash. And it just wraps around the throat and there's a crack and there's just a burst of like sparks and embers and flame as the head just. I think fully comes off. I think dangles with a good degree of sinew and charring. But the invisible nice. Fades and it goes boom, boom.
Tony the tiger defeated. And the
he is not fades. Doing great.
He is not doing great.
I was about to say the same sort of thing to Hester. I was about to go, Hester, that's great.
And the figure kind of just burns in embers and eventually just wisps away in the wind and out the windows of the front of the carriage. And Deacon kind of looks upon you and says, that's all of the failures apart from Felipe, no offense, that have been defeated. The only thing we have left to do is stop this train and draw the Lord of Death to us. And then we can defeat him and go home.
You're on about drawing the train directly to us.
I run up and hug Hester.
If this train reaches Acheron,
he's like 4 foot tall.
Then we won't be getting off. This is the last chance. This is all nine of you.
I suggest we pull the brakes.
I'm gonna pull my hands together that had Beacon of Hope in it. Drop Beacon of Hope and push like the light energy towards Zach, and I'm gonna cast Remove Curse on him.
Ha! Rakshasa be fucked.
Fuck you.
The magical energy of the train once again reefs over you, and the time delaying effects mean that Rakshasa basically didn't exist.
And I dropped, there you go. I dropped haste, so obviously the exhaustion doesn't take effect now because he can't get exhausted.
Rakshasa
is what I was waiting for.
Rakshasa what?
That's crazy. That's a CR13 creature, which proves the point that CR ratings in D&D are redundant.
They are, but I mean, come on, we played that pretty well.
Hasted barbarian with a crit on the first hit was, yeah.
I'm gonna lift this hatch and just sort of look down at the tracks and be like, I don't know too much about driving a train, but I can definitely stop this train. I can't guarantee it will go very easily afterwards.
Can we look for a lever first?
Yeah, don't dismantle things. Don't.
It's pretty much all or nothing with me.
Yeah, well me too.
Let's put the brakes on the nothing or the all, and maybe look to see if there's. Hester will like, not even look for a lever. She will just gesture and acknowledge the fact that like I ain't the person to be inspecting this strange contraption. But the answer is probably there.
I will go up and have a look, as a brainy boy. And I will go and have a look at the controls, and I'll see if there's any way that looks like to be a brake lever or anything like that at all.
I'll give you the help action by going like.
Thank you.
You can go ahead and roll a perception check, or even if you wanted to, an insight check, because this is kind of this is a little bit more than just searching now. You're almost trying to see if this is physically possible.
Both are the same for me, but I will roll insight with advantage.
Impact, like, they wouldn't know anything about the, like, technical side of it, but they would understand, like, burning fuel something. Mm-hmm. Is it obvious, as it seems in the picture, that there's coal?
There's a fire?
Yeah, okay. There's a fire always burning. Inside this, there would just be a very small, almost like a dragon seemingly made of lava that just sits in the engine of it.
I got a 23 on insight.
You would know that this train is always moving. It stops when it needs to stop, and it continues when it needs to continue. And it is being drawn by the Lord of Death himself. This is a god's magic. To stop it with a lever is kind of impossible. There may be a way to stop it, but it won't be mechanical.
This thing has no inbuilt brakes. It's being pulled towards Duquesne by Duquesne.
I'm going to turn to Hester and go,
do any of you
how silly does it seem now to crush it?
I mean, I'm go for it. I'm like, as long as we've gone through the steps of considering option A before we hit option F.
Wait,
you know?
Puck, what did you say?
Well, I was wondering if any of you have any magical ways to put out fire.
I think I do.
I believe this train is being propelled by, at least partially, by that fire.
Can create water.
No. Let me take him out first. He's so adorable.
Are you really reaching in and pulling out this dragon made of lava?
I mean, I want to. Yeah.
Wanting to do something and doing something are very different.
Well, as I approach it, does it burn my hands off?
As you reach your hands inside the...
Is it too hot for me to handle?
Johnny, nothing's too hot for you to handle, baby.
Oh, Daddy. I mean, like it.
As you reach your hands inside the engine, the hull of this train, one of your hands, as it enters, just burns away. And you know that's the one you lost. The other hand is just pitch black, like charcoal. And you reach forward with everything inside you. And I'm going to need you to roll a con save.
Oh, it's so warm.
Take a resistance on that con save.
Natural 20!
Anyway, no need.
Oh, yeah.
The natural 20s happen at the worst possible time for a DM and the best possible time for
best.
Players.
That's my first natural 20 of Iron Horse.
You reach in and just every ounce of you is fighting against this flame, and everyone else sees you ignite and you become this fire element, the element of fire right there. Almost like the laws of what would normally be in this carriage don't affect you for whatever reason. And you pull out this small dragon, which would only be, you know, dog-sized kind of, but made of pure energy and lava and heat. It's basically a heat dragon. It's made from the element of heat itself. And you're now cradling it in your arms. And the second you remove it from the engine of that train, you just hear this shh, and you feel momentum stop.
Yeah. Oh, shit!
He's so cute, though. Who's... Oh, shit, not again. Wait. Oh, shit, not again.
As you're holding it, and as it's out of this area, it quickly, very rapidly cools and forms into a dark black glass-like substance, like obsidian, and it just is inanimate after that.
Oh, shit.
Are there windows? Can we take on, like, are there doors that we can open?
There are doors. There's one door on the side which a Reaper would know is able to be opened. This is the front of the train. This is the only door that can be, well, either one can be opened, but this is the only one at least outside. It's on the left, this one right here, where Puck is standing close to.
I will go over and I will attempt to open it.
As you open the door, as it opens out, you can just see pure ethereal, the element of the phase. This is the plane between planes. This train has stopped. It has stopped short of its destination. It has not arrived at a place to pick up more souls. It is effectively derailed.
So what now?
You have a spare arm.
That was a better idea than what I had. I was going to animate the engine and just send it outside.
Why? I can still make him hot again. It's okay.
I can make your arm exist again once you stop holding a potential napalm.
Hey, what should we call him?
Dead.
Not you.
What should we call him? Dead.
Reaper, have you ever named something before?
I don't think so.
What should we call my little napalm rock?
Let me have a look napalm at something rock. Real quick. Napalm rock.
That's what it is, right?
It the kind name, of is.
The name Deb sounds quite nice.
No, we're doing that again.
And just having a look at something real quick.
Right, as I'm gently rocking my rock.
How about you call it Ignis?
Ignis? I like Ignis. You're now part of our collective, Ignis.
Ignis means fire in Latin. It's my go-to for naming anything.
And you shall be named Veritas for what you did with your hands. Wait, no, Lux. Veritas is truth.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but unless anyone else has any ideas, we're now sat on a train in literally the middle of nowhere.
I think the plan now is to wait for Duquesne to come, isn't it?
Yeah, that's basically what's going to happen. He turns to Hester. Bishop kind of never existed. Bishop was Duquesne.
What?
Marie
killed him then.
Kind of, no, that was one of the spirits that was pretending to be him. I don't know how much you remember, Marie, but I'm gonna tell you what's left, because this is the furthest I've ever gotten, and this is the most souls I brought with me, so this is the best chance we have. You were a death cleric. You prayed to the Lord of Death and helped others pass. And the Lord of Death kind of fell in love with you. And they tried to come to the realm we lived on and live a mortal life. They lived as William Bishop. They decided to take on that form. And they tried to leave Acheron. But your heart was already promised to someone else, which was me. So Duquesne didn't like that very much, and everyone that we knew, it was like a plague. It was darkness, it was blades, it was just death. Everyone died, and I remember when the priest was stood there and we were gonna be finally have what we always wanted, the priest took my finger and removed it, took the wedding ring off, and it hit the ground and everyone died, and I was took to the platform in the center and hung in front of you, and in the struggle you ended up being killed by the cane, and then they took your soul and everyone else to Acheron. Like I said, and I was not lying, somehow I was saved. The rope was cut. I'm not sure exactly how, but the end of it is singed and burnt. I crawled with everything I had, and I climbed aboard the train that was there picking up the souls of our friends and our family and everyone in that town. And when I made it to the underworld to kill this god that had turned up. I suppose it must have drew the attention of the elder gods. They punished him. They punished him for interfering with the lives of the living. And they gave me one single chance to save you. They said that I had to bring 9 living souls to be my champions. They would fight. Only one of those 9 can defeat Duquesne and free you. I took one at a time for a long while. I took Felipe, I took the Rakshasa, I took others. One more, the one that could manipulate minds that we fought. And then the most recent was Jasper. All of them suffered and failed. And then
when I was closing in on Hester, and I'm sorry that I did, but you have a spirit and a force that you have the power to defeat Duquesne. That's why I chose you. That's why me and Bishop always seem to be so close and always seem side by side, because Bishop was always trying to undermine me and always trying to force a way for you to be killed, Hester, before you became one of my nine. This is the whole reason that you were allowed to leave. You know, Bishop tried to... he tried to order many of the Fingers gang to have you killed, and I convinced him not to. And that's the whole reason they took your gun instead, so that one day you'd come back. And this is kind of why they were called the Fingers Gang. You know, it's kind of a sick joke because my finger was taken. And with you, Zach, you were taken from the ones that you love because of that, the gnome that Deacon became. And I suppose all of you, in a way, have been... you were pawns in our game, but there is one way we can do this. We can defeat Duquesne together. We have one chance. This is it. And if we do it, Marie can be free. You can be free. This is it. Like, I know that you hate me for what I've done, but by what I've done, in reality, I've saved all of you from Duquesne's wrath.
Duquesne's wrath came our damn way because you put a fucking target on our backs, like picking us out as your damn champions.
Not always. Sometimes Duquesne was coming for you because he thought that's who I wanted. That's why Ajax is wrapped up in me.
That still fucking draws a line back to you, Deacon.
I have had run-ins with Duquesne for apparently thousands of years.
It doesn't draw a line back to Deacon. It draws a line back to me.
We all do stupid things for love.
You did nothing wrong, Marie. You did what the scripture said, and you helped people pass to the afterlife. It was not your fault that the Lord of Death took a liking to you. The other Reapers that have lost their way, that lost their memories and everything, they were just like you. They were good people, good clerics that ended up on the wrong side of their desires.
Reaper reaches to like the patch on the like symbol on their robes that's the symbol of the god of death, and kind of puts their hand over it and closes their eyes and just rips it from their robes and throws it to the floor. What kind of god have I been worshipping all these years that would do such a thing? Huh. Maybe it's time for a change in careers. If we make it out of here, maybe start over. Try something new.
You play that instrument well.
And what I'm going to try and do, Maka, if you'll allow this, is go back into the time when I would used to, in life, when I would pray to Duquesne, to the Lord of Death, doing my job. The time when he started to like me. And I want to go into a quiet prayer, just in my mind, and see if I can call him to us. If I can reach out to him and tell him.
What would you say?
Think out loud. Reaper would begin to say, I've dedicated all the time I can remember, and seemingly all the time that I can't, to you. I thought I was doing right, and that I was making the way to you easier. I thought I was helping, and I thought I was happy. I was happy when I lived, when I laughed, and when I loved.
when I brought joy to others, when I eased grief, when I eased pain. And you took that from me. So, here I am. If you want me, why don't you come and fucking get me?
In that split moment when you finish speaking and you draw the Lord of Death, you beckon the Lord of Death to you, there's a low rumble, almost like distant thunder, starts to... You just feel it, and everyone begins to feel it in their chests. And then you start to feel it with the ground you've stood on and the instruments in this place and their very rivets holding it together. And the train itself begins to rock and shake, and eventually it begins to spin, and everyone is just thrown hither and to until it is shredded from everything. It is ripped entirely from its being. And you are all in the phase, and in this essence itself, you can't move, you can't walk, you're in the element that connects the planes. And in the distance, a very small winged figure approaches fast. And at that moment, it will end tonight's session. And hopefully,
I'm scared. I'm physically a little bit afraid of next week.
And hopefully you can all join us next week for the very finale of The Iron Horse of Acheron, the showdown with the Lord of Death.
Wow. I can't go send a chance.
We got this. It's fine.
There you
are. Yeah, it's just completely fine.
I have zero magic. This God of Death better be susceptible to a punch.
Just take a real quick long rest.
I got nothing.
Just a long rest.
Don't worry,
in the void, you know?
I'll bleed on you. We'll be fine.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Doesn't matter how many sleeps I take. I only got punches.
Thank you very much to everyone that joined us for this session. Hopefully you can join us next week for the finale of this mini campaign. That was very cool. I enjoyed that a lot. Very good. I love this. I love this. I never want this to end.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.